It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or
prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcoming back to the Crotch Shot Radio Show, the most electrifying autistic cisgender female in porn, the Puerto Rican bionic booty, supporter of our warriors, the engineering mistress, La Boricua Bella, Mercedes Carrera.
Hey.
Hello, hello.
How are you?
I'm well, as can be.
Mm-hmm.
How are you?
Wet. It's rainy. It's disgusting in New York City today, so...
Oh, has it been?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, it's really pouring right now. So...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how's everybody? Are you guys all cooped up again? Did they put you back on the lockdown?
No, not lockdown yet.
Okay.
So...
out here we've got like two major fires raging. We have the Santa Ana's every fucking year for probably, I mean, I don't know, as long as probably recorded history, fuck if I know. We've had Santa Ana's. We have above ground electrical wires that they have not fixed.
No.
You know, and instead of putting money into that budget, they keep throwing money into the stupid trains that go to nowhere. We had Governor Jerry Brown twice in the last 40 years who literally raped our budget and stole money and like $8 billion this last time. He pulled the same scam in the 70s. And instead of putting the goddamn power wires underground, they created this bullet train to nowhere system. And so now we have these fires. Every fucking time. They know it's going to happen. And they won't fix it. They won't do controlled burn. And so, again, now we have, you know, like 2 15,000-acre fires, people evacuated, you know, so then they have to do patch jobs, they have to airdrop water. I mean, it's just a joke. This state is falling apart. California's become a third world country.
Yeah, California.
But it's all completely, predictable.
Yeah.
And they could literally predict it. They could completely prevent all of this if they were to be smart.
Oh wow!
And they won't. Yeah, they know it's coming every year. Every year, same time of year. I mean, the power line's above ground. The power generator's above ground. All this shit should be below ground.
Mm-hmm.
So, there you go. And this is what's coming to all of America. Because this is what happens when you throw money into social programs as opposed to infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want? You want more useless people who do nothing but take, or do you want infrastructure?
No, I hear you. I mean, the same thing is kind of happening here in New York. I mean, especially when it comes to the MTA, they can make a lot of money, candidate, well, when Larry Sharp, the libertarian candidate for governor, was running, he had a plan on how the MTA could actually make all the money that it needs without actually getting any type of public funding.
Yeah.
But of course, you know, no one listens. So. I mean, in fact, it would make everything better because, and this is something that could be done, nationwide. All the tracks, all the train tracks that are just sitting there, not being used at all, they could be rented to, these private companies, and they pay to maintain these tracks, and they could, more economically and environmentally friendly, transport their products. I mean, everyone's so worried about cutting the carbon. I mean, they're you know, which goes to show that they're not really trying to cut carbon emissions, because there's like very simple economic solutions to do all that, but they won't do it.
Right.
It's all about.
Right, which is, I mean, it's kind of like, I mean, and if you read Atlas Shrugged, that's kind of what they were dealing with, what Ayn Rand was writing about.
Atlas what? Railway.
Atlas Shrugged. If you read Atlas Shrugged, that she was writing about the railroad magnate.
Okay.
That's exactly what she was talking about. Was, you know, back in the day, they were privately owned, the railways, and then the nation made them public. Because everybody's like, oh, you know, these so unfair, these private moguls own them, and mm-hmm. oh, these robber barons, you know, these things need to be held by the nation, and so now you get what you got, which is they're dilapidated. Because that's what happened.
Yeah. So what else and are you? So what else are yeah. you looking at?
So, as you know, we spoke yesterday briefly offline.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you had a chance to look it up, but BLM, I'm sure if you looked up, you saw that BLM has come out with a bunch of lawsuits and settlements on all the protesting that they were doing. So this confirms everything that I said, mm-hmm. and some of you probably heard when I was on Gavin McInnes' show for, you know, I should call him tonight. But saying that these BLM riots are a cover for a mass shakedown. This is what they are. So all these protesters are useful idiots. System that what they're doing, they are going out. Look, this is like what they do internationally, right? So, mm-hmm. you know, everybody was blaming George Soros. Now, with Soros and Project Democracy, and these international movements are, they create these color revolutions where they also get useful idiots, right? And they go out and they create these protests to overthrow local government. And they're doing it right now in Thailand. They're doing it in Burma. They're doing it in Belarus, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're following that. There was even a blurb about Kyrgyzstan, right? These are usually CIA-led ops that are run by NGOs, non-government organizations, that usually get covert funding from the State Department, right? And what they're trying to do is overthrow local governments to put in puppet governments that are going to be friendly to State Department-run or U.S. governments, right? Now, that's not the case. That's not what BLM is doing, though. Similar tactic, different outcome.
Mm-hmm.
The outcome for BLM, what they're looking for, is an opportunity to shake down local governments for tax dollars. Because they're not trying to overthrow the U.S. government.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what they're trying to do here, right? They're not trying to overthrow the New York state government. Because notice where they're doing it. They're doing it in liberal city centers, right? They're doing it in New York. They're doing it in Austin, Texas. They're doing it in Seattle, Portland, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nevada, Las Vegas, even LA, right? So they're doing it in places where they're friendly. They weren't doing it in Dallas. They're not doing it in red states. So why are they doing it in friendly areas? Here's why. They're doing it because they know that they're doing it jurisdictionally. They have tight laws about what the police can and can't do. And what that means is that then they have a jurisdictional issue where they can go and sue the police for any sort of use of force that's outside of what is jurisdictionally acceptable. Things like rubber bullets, tear gas, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they have organizers there who say, hey, we caught the police using batons. We caught them using rubber bullets. And so this is why, like, when you saw, you know, what they were doing in, let's say, Portland, they were doing everything they could to antagonize the police there.
Yeah.
Right? So, you know, this is where you saw, let's say, urine being used.
Oh, yeah.
You saw feces. You saw vomit. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So every single tactic that they were using a lot of really aggressive tactics, and the tactics got more and more aggressive as the length of time went on, because they were trying to get as much retribution as possible so that they could get really strong lawsuits. Now, the reason that they threw a fit when the feds came in is that the feds exposed the organization, right? Because the feds being there showed that they had organizational tools. The uniformity of what they were using, right?
Right.
That's what I'm saying. Like, so, you know, this is where, like, that kind of shit really was a problem.
So who do you think, if it's not George Soros, who is behind this?
Well, so take a look at who the main organizers were for BLM. This stuff started with the Obama administration.
Mm-hmm.
So who's in Chicago? And guess who crawled out of his fucking hole recently and was on The Political View yesterday? Rahm Emanuel. Who came out to stump for Biden this week? Barack Obama.
Hmm.
That's who is at the epicenter of, and if take a look, I mean, if you look at who created Barack Obama, you know, take a look at who his origins were. There's an unauthorized biography that came out about Barack Obama by Webster Tarpley. It was published in 2008. That unauthorized biography it talks about the origins of his political background.
Mm-hmm.
And that one, you know, really talks about his origins in the hatred of this country. You know, it's fascism. It's proto-fascism and it's fascism. And there's a reason. Look, I mean, Joe Biden was his VP. I mean, this is what people are voting in when they vote for him.
Hmm.
I don't know why people don't connect those dots. I mean, to vote for Biden is to vote for the same dynasty.
Well, that's because no one looks into it, because they just hear, they get all their news from like the rap stations, and it's like, you're still a victim, and Trump is this, Trump is a racist, Trump is a fascist. Right. That's all you hear. I don't know if you're able to listen to the radio over there. There's this show called The Breakfast Club, called Charlemagne the God, and every time he's had Kamala Harris, and what's her name? Something Clinton, Hillary Clinton,
right?
On there, and he doesn't ask the hard questions. He doesn't.
Oh, of course not.
I mean,
they're softballs.
Yeah.
Well, these people don't understand what fascism is. Mm-hmm. Fascism is, by definition, a leftist philosophy. Donald Trump, by definition, cannot be a fascist. Fascists are not rightists. You know, when you talk about, let's talk about the Nazis, for example. The reason that the National Socialists were fascists is that they were a leftist ideology that was in opposition to the conservative right that was in power at the time. Hitler was not a conservative leader. The Nationalist Socialists were a progressive left group. They were National Socialists, but not the stands for.
Mm-hmm.
They were National Socialists. People misunderstand that just because he was in opposition to communism, they don't understand that they were still socialists, National Socialists.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Right. So
Americans don't understand this.
Yeah. Why do you think Americans, mostly on the left, they attribute Nazism to people on the right?
Because Americans don't understand the conditions in Europe and how different they were to the American system. So Americans think that because racism was endemic to the South,
mm-hmm.
and that for some reason Americans don't seem to understand their own political system too. Ironically, Americans have such short memory span. They forget that the Democrats were also the racist party.
Mm-hmm.
It's an ironic thing in our country.
Right.
The Democrats are the party of racism. The Democrats were the party of and are the party of slavery. For some reason, people forget this. It was the Republican Party that fought for the liberty of the slaves. The Democrats were the ones who were slaveholders. And it is the Democrats now who fight to keep the colored people, as it were, on the plantation. That is the truth. But, you know, I mean, there's a reason that, you know, they now say, well, you know, if you're colored, you must vote for the Democratic Party.
Oh, yeah. I get that all the time. I get that all the time. Yeah. It's like when people find out I'm a registered Republican.
Right.
They're like, why? Why? They're racist. They hate you. And then the only time I've ever been called a spick was by someone who voted for Democrats because they act like I betrayed them or something.
Right.
I mean, the only time I've been anything racist has ever happened to me was done by a Democrat. When I hang out with the Proud Boys, when I've been in Republican right-leaning settings, that just doesn't happen.
No, of course not. Well, and Frederick Douglass was a Republican, and you know, the history mm-hmm. of the Republican Party was the Republicans were the party of freeing the slaves.
Yeah.
You understand American history.
Well, I mean, one argument that they make when you bring that up is, oh, well, there was a switch. There was a switch.
And again, that is the wool being pulled over their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Because I always say, and when did that happen? And they can't answer that question, can they?
No.
When did that happen? No. Well, here's what happened. When mm-hmm. FDR, the New Deal happened,
mm-hmm.
basically what happened was, it was again, the plantation. Here, I'm going to give you a bunch of stuff, and you're going to be quiet, and you're going to stay on the plantation. That's what happened. Here, little slaves, I'm going to give you some things and you're going to be quiet and you're going to stay on the plantation and vote for me. That's what happened. The New Deal. Here, little slaves, I'm going to give you some money and you're going to shut up and you're going to vote for me. It was welfare. And then it was Johnson's New America. They bought off and told shut up. That's what happened.
Right.
So it was the New Deal, and then it was Johnson's. So the New Deal started it, And Johnson's Great New America finished it.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever they can't answer the question I answered for.
No.
And they go, huh. Really? Yeah, really. That's when it happened. You got bought off, first for Social Security, and a chicken in every pot, and then for some EBT.
Yeah.
That's what your liberty cost you.
But my question, well, going back to the original topic,
yeah.
To hopefully tie everything in, when it comes to BLM, how come they don't understand?
You have 1 minute left.
Oh, okay. Call me back.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, so like I was asking before we had to take an impromptu break, when it comes to BLM, you know, they all know that the government won't do anything for them. And usually a lot of this happens in Democrat controlled cities, and they're allowed to loot and do whatever they want. And a lot of times, especially in New York City, they don't face charges. I said on Sunday, they're mad at the police for actually trying to get them off the Brooklyn Bridge, which, you know, I did a show last night with a friend of mine, reviewing a video done by Spencer Sunshine, who, if you don't know who he is a leader in Antifa. And the person interviewing him, who happened to be a black person, was discussing how the right likes to hit him with cars. And I made the point is like, you don't want to get hit by a car. Don't march in the street. Don't go on the highways. Cause I mean, it's like you know, they love to block people, block ambulances. Like but with that, nothing barely happens to them legally. So
my question
is where is the struggle? Where's the systemic racism that they scream about?
I mean, here's the thing. Look, if you have, let's say you have a district where people are paid off, where everybody, mm-hmm. let's say you have these litigators who go, hey, we know a way to get all this money. Like, let's say I know that there's $20 million in this coffer,
mm-hmm.
and we're all going to get our hands on it, right? Because we have these litigators who go, hey, I know a way we can get this money. All we need is about 3,000 of these fucking idiots that are going to go march. And all I need, now, the real victims in this are probably, let's say, the cops, right?
Right.
I'm going to make sure a bunch of them get injured in this protest, right, if I'm a litigator.
Yep.
But I don't care about that because my goal is to get my hands on that $20 million, mm-hmm. right? So I'm going to throw these fucking idiot protesters, these useful idiots out there. They're going to go in on these cops. Cops are going to get injured, right?
Right.
I don't care about these fucking useful idiots. They can get run over by cars. It doesn't matter to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because I got the judges in my pocket. I got these mayors are in my pocket. Everyone's going to get a slice of these funds, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's in on this. This is why it's happening in a liberal city.
Right.
Right?
Right.
It's all corrupt. So we're all in on this. We're all getting a slice of the pie. Right?
Right, right.
That's why it's happening. That's why it's really happening in places like Portland, where you have everybody from the top down, from the mayor down, everybody in these districts is sympathetic to the Antifa
mm-hmm.
and to the BLM. They're all a bunch of communists, right?
Right.
They're really sympathetic to the cause, and they also really like that money.
Yes.
So, you know, and notice how when they were done with it, all of a sudden the whole fucking place went up on fire. It's a good way to get rid of all those useful idiots, because suddenly all those little mess towns just light up on fire. There was a little blurb where, hey, they're expecting mass casualties. How many of those fucking useful idiots suddenly went up in smoke? Nobody knows, right?
Right.
The dog was thoroughly wagged. Who cares? Fucking disposable protesters. Am I right?
Right.
Isn't that totally convenient? Whole little town just suddenly went up in flames. see where I'm going with it?
Yes.
And hey, if some of them get, you know, knocked off the Brooklyn Bridge here and there, what fucking difference does it make? All the better, because then they can't identify who the organizers are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's how this works. And all those hands, all that money then goes back into the pot for things like the DNC, where it gets washed thoroughly.
Mm-hmm.
All the better for it to happen during an election. That's why it's happening right now. Right now, all those settlements are being made, if you look it up. Without numbers, there's no numerical value. Hey, settlement was made. Some of them are through the ACLU. Some of them are not. But they're all being made.
Yeah, I mean, this is some of the... I'm trying to look for it. I'm using DuckDuckGo. This is one of them. Four people who were arrested after a Phoenix BLM protest wound up in ICE custody. Protesters sue NYPD and City Hall over violent policing at BLM protests. Is that it?
There's a lot of them. I had a friend look them up.
Mm-hmm.
And he was going to send me a bunch of them. You're going to have to look for me, because keep in mind I'm in here.
Right.
He read a bunch of them off, and he was going to send me the links. He read like 10 or 12 of them for me. I don't know exactly where he found them, but I know they're in there.
Right.
And they were everything from rubber bullets to tear gas. One was in Austin. One was in Vegas. One was in Indianapolis.
Yeah, I have one. I have it's a video, so you can't you won't be able to hear it for some reason.
But there were law settlements. I don't know where he was looking, and I don't want to name him.
Here it is. Lawsuit claims Las Vegas police used violent, reckless tactics during BLM protest. A newly filed lawsuit alleges Las Vegas police used violent crowd control tactics during Black Lives Matter protests and deployed those tactics on people who are of no threat to police. Of course, they're going to say that police and the public, as well as legal observers and journalists.
Yep.
In fact,
and there were settlements too. I know there were some settlements made. So I'm sure if you dig around, because you have the internet and I don't,
right,
you will find settlements. If you also search ACLU, I know is helping with a bunch of them. And like I said, you know, there's like probably if you have LexisNexis, you can get into stuff too. But my point is, this is typical. What they're doing is this is mafia shit. They're basically using mafia tactics via the legal system.
Oh, here I found one. The IMPD, Indianapolis Police Department, and the Indianapolis Metropolitan Police Department have agreed to settle a federal lawsuit filed by the American Civil Liberties Union on behalf of protesters from the Springs social justice demonstration that will curb police use of tear gas in future attempts to control peaceful crowds. Okay, first of all, I hate this double speak. If they have to use tear gas, you're not being peaceful. Like, honestly, I mean, I've been in rallies and when I was with Anonymous, not the hackers, but I was with a group called Anonymous, and we would do weekly raids on the Church of Scientology Celebrity Center in Times Square, and we would just be trolling them across the street. There were cops there, and they just let us shout at the church, and we didn't get hit with tear gas. It's, you know, okay. So anyways, back to the article. Indy 10 Black Lives Matters filed the suit in July, claiming that the First and Fourth Amendment rights of the demonstration to peacefully protest were violated when IMPD resorted to tear gas to break up the crowds and responded to widespread looting and rioting. Okay, if you're looting and rioting, you're not peaceful. Like, what do they want to happen? You're not allowed to break people's shit. You're not allowed to just steal someone's shit. Why are they getting away with this? How come they're just being paid off?
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
These are terrorists. Right. And I say it once and I say it again, and I don't care if somebody calls me a racist. BLM is a terrorist organization, and their supporters should be treated like an invading army.
Right. And this is what I go back to. See, that what they really are is they're useful idiots for these. Because those guys that did all that shit, they're going to walk away with what, some Air Jordans? But the guys who are making real money off this, the real fucking guys who are making money, those litigators, they're walking away with millions.
Yeah.
So these fucking idiots are so stupid that they're out there burning shit, flipping tables. They might get some Air Jordans out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But these motherfuckers who are making the real money, based out of Chicago or wherever the hell they are going to make millions and millions and millions of dollars off of these morons who are out there flipping tables and burning down businesses. And these BLM guys are going to pat themselves on the back thinking they're affecting change, not realizing that all they're doing is lining the pockets of these litigators. These people are a bunch of stupid idiots, not realizing that they're actually feeding the system that they think they're destroying. Wake up, people. You fucking morons are just making it worse. Useful idiots.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they are. Because those litigators that are doing this, they're not for Black Lives Matter. They don't give a fuck about you. These are the very guys who will absolutely lead you into death camps the minute we're in a famine.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to go first. Believe me. They see you as a liability. They will, and it's just like what happened in Portland. I guarantee you the reason those fires were suddenly set. Notice they suddenly flamed up and then suddenly went out. I guarantee you that some of those people who went up in flames, that preparation for mass casualties, that dog was wagged. Anyone who's seen that story, seen that movie, knows what I'm talking about.
Right.
Good old Shu got immolated. It was a Holocaust, you know. Sacrifice.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. I mean, it's...
You stupid plebeians. You stupid... This is. You want to know why the underclass never succeeds? Because they do the same fucking thing every goddamn time. They're emotionally reactive.
Mm-hmm.
They do the same thing every single time. They're out there, peasants with pitchforks. You do exactly what the ruling classes want you to do every single time, led by emotion. Wake up. Don't give a fuck about you. So if they're telling you to come out and protest, it's because it suits their will. Don't do it. Idiots.
Yep.
If it was really a good idea to protest, they wouldn't let you have protest meetings and dates on Facebook.
No.
I mean,
no.
Come on.
No, I mean, hell, they shut down the Proud Boys off of Facebook. I got kicked off of Facebook.
Exactly.
I got kicked off of Instagram. I got kicked off of TikTok. I mean, it's
exactly.
Like I'm not allowed to have freedom of speech. I mean,
exactly.
But honestly, that's going to bite them in the ass, because if a lot of us are forced to have to go to places where you can't monitor us. I mean, all you're going to do is make us have to go 3D with the shit.
Right. Well, look, I mean, people need to be, this is, God, humans are so stupid. If they're telling you that you're allowed to have a meetup for a protest, it means that the protest they're allowing you to have is either something they want you to do or something that's ineffective.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it means.
Yeah.
Like, if Ellen DeGeneres and all the other, you know, media stars are telling you to go out and do it, it means that it's something they want you to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's their aims. Like, I don't know what, like, it's almost like, it's like, you know what it is? It's people don't read history anymore.
No.
They don't. It's so stupid. I mean, it's like, sometimes I'm like, why do I even talk? You know, like sometimes I understand why people just take vows of silence and go on the top of mountains and just stop talking to people.
Mm-hmm. Well, you are a high priestess of sexiness. So
I don't know. You know, now they put me in a fucking jail cell, and I'm like, you know what difference does it make?
Mm-hmm.
Who cares? I mean, really, who cares? It's fine. Difference does it make?
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, at this point, I'm a persecuted person. I'm like, you know, figures. I mean, really, it's kind of the highest compliment in this society to be a persecuted person.
Yeah. I mean,
really?
It means you're so dangerous that they're taking you off the board.
Yeah, that was really. I mean, and you know what? It's because of it. Because I'm like, come on, people. Really? I mean, I and then I think, you know what? I guess it is because I'm like, I swear to God, I'm like the only fucking person that figured this out. I'm watching the fucking TV going, don't you fuckers see what they're doing? They're shaking you guys down. They're shaking you down. This isn't George Soros. This is fucking Rahm Emanuel and the Obamas shaking these fucking districts down for money.
Yeah, but who's behind Rahm Emanuel and the Barack Obama?
He's behind it. He's a fucking gangster. Rahm Emanuel is the fucking guy. He's a goddamn Chicago gangster litigator.
Mm.
That motherfucker's dangerous. And guess what? He came out of hiding today, the other day. He was on The Political View talking about how Biden's going to win. And you know what he did at the very end? If you watch it, pull it up on YouTube. He crosses his fingers, both of them. He crosses both his fingers at the very end and waves them around. It looks like he's flipping everybody off. It's hilarious.
Mm.
I'm like, did anybody catch this? That guy's a dangerous motherfucker. And by the way, I'm not suicidal. So if anybody finds me dead in my jail cell, he's probably the one who did it.
All right.
Rahm Emanuel's a fucking dangerous dude. He's powerful enough to have pulled all this shit off. That's that guy, Chicago, Barack Obama, Rahm Emanuel, those guys, look, they're all fucking attorneys. They are the power cabal who could pull this shit off. Them and Joe Biden, absolutely.
So how
them,
does
the DNC,
how does this all fit into the whole with China and I mean, not to get too conspiracy theory. You know, like the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderberg Group.
I don't think it has anything to do with it. See, I think people like are looking way too deep. I think this is just a money grab. I swear to God. And I think people are looking for like some sort of Chinese malevolence and the Council on Foreign Relations. They're looking for like this big bad actor. When I really swear to God, I think that this was just. These guys know that there's money in these pots. And look, when our national debt, let's take a look at our national debt, right?
Mm-hmm.
From 1776 until 2019, it took that long to accrue $11 trillion in debt, right?
Right.
From 2019 until 2020, that debt went from $11 trillion to $33 trillion. Do you know how rapidly exponential that is? So I think these motherfuckers know that our currency is in, we're in fucking shit creek right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think they saw that and they went, you know what? We need to take as much fucking currency as we can out of, we have friends in all these municipalities. Look, Trump is in the swamp right now,
mm-hmm.
right? So the monster had to crawl out of the DC swamp. And it moved. It moved out of that central swamp, and it moved out into those municipalities.
Mm.
What did it do? It moved clear across the country. It went from D.C. It moved out to Portland, into Seattle, New York, into Chicago,
mm-hmm.
right? Into Indianapolis. into Las Vegas. It moved into all these little municipalities where it has buddies. And it said, let's get the money out of those pots. It moved out of D.C. And it said, where do we have friends? Let's get the money there.
You have 1 minute left.
Before that money goes away.
Okay.
That's what I think. That I swear to God, I think that's what happened. I've been watching this shit closely. I don't think it is a for and after at all. I think that this is just a money grab. Because I think they're scared. I think they're terrified that this currency is going to go down. And I'll tell you why when I call back.
Okay.
Okay, bye.
Wait. And we're back.
Hello. Yes. So, I mean, you're talking about China. You're talking about the Council on Foreign Relations. You know, and I think that, I think people want... I think it's too hard for people to want to accept that there's that much rot within our society. Like, people want there to be some sort of, like, malevolent force on the outside that's doing this to us. They don't want to accept that this diversion is happening from within, you know? But that's not it. It's not George Soros. It's not the Council on Foreign Relations. This is happening from the inside. And look, I mean... You know, I don't know what to say except that we had Barack Obama for 8 years. He was a malevolent, destructive force from the inside for 8 years. He did this. And Biden would be a part three. Same thing.
Well, honestly, wouldn't it actually be Kamala Harris? Because, I mean, they keep saying that Joe Biden is going to die within his first year.
No. But Biden was Obama's VP. Mm-hmm. So the same cabal that came with Obama comes with Biden.
Mm-hmm.
Harris is a completely untenured, completely green senator.
Mm-hmm.
She'll do whatever they tell her to do. But Biden comes with that same cabal of people that Obama had. That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
And if you read Obama's history, I mean, he comes with that crew of people. If you read his history, read anything about the guy. That goes back. I mean, his entire roots are, you know, he was fomented in fascism and a hatred of the United States. He's probably the most divisive president we've ever had. We didn't have these problems in this country prior to his presidency.
Mm-hmm.
This racial hatred that we have right now didn't exist prior to 2008.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't. This is really, I mean, this is a fairly current thing. I'm old enough to remember. So are you.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, he's been an absolute nightmare. But anyway, so going back to China, switching topics.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you saw, but Pompeo and Esper's Secretary of Defense right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
He had previously been a Boeing executive. I don't know how many people know that.
Mm-hmm.
They together were just in Taiwan. They just sold Taiwan $2.5 billion worth of military defense systems that are Boeing defense systems. There's three separate systems worth $2.5 billion. China is very displeased by this because China considers Taiwan to be their territory.
Right.
It's been an ongoing problem since 1949. China has now hit Boeing, Lockheed Martin, and Raytheon with $1.5 billion worth of sanctions.
Mm.
As a result, Boeing, Raytheon, and Lockheed stock has dropped. Now, I expect them to go back up. It's a good time if you want to purchase stock for either of those three companies, because I believe Boeing just dropped to $120.
Mm-hmm.
From, I think, $300.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good time to pick up that stock. It'll go back up. They always do.
Mm-hmm.
That just happened. The U.S. was, as of, I think, this week, participating in a military exercise with Japan in the East China Sea. That military exercise was, I think, something, I can't remember offhand, but the King Sword. Putin had a phone call with was it Shinzo Abe? I don't know if it's a new prime minister. You're going to have to look this up.
Yeah.
I don't have the internet again. Whoever is running the parliament now in Japan, during the first U.S. presidential debate, don't quote me on who he had a phone call with because I don't recall offhand. My suspicion was that that phone call had something to do with whose vassal state Japan will be if there's to be some sort of territorial conflict. Clearly, Japan chose the United States because we are running a military exercise with them. Also, reported this morning, the U.S. will be opening a consulate in the Maldives in the Indian Ocean, and is working closely with India to share satellite data. Because India and China have had territorial conflicts on their border, on their shared border, which has resulted in 20 dead Indian soldiers. Now, they've had a lot of territorial conflicts on that border for the last, five, 6 years, right? I know that India had been a member of the SCO, the Shanghai Cooperation Organization. I don't know if that still stands. That's something to look up because I don't have that data. That was in 2014. But I know that the U.S. is definitely angling to have more of a partnership with them. So this is something that's happening currently. The India has... Sri Lanka has had cooperation with China. China has lent them money. I wrote this down earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, the U.S. has become increasingly more aggressive in the South and East China Seas. Here's the thing. China has built their navy. I think we've talked about this.
Yeah.
To be the largest navy in the world. The last time China had the largest navy in the world was in the 1400s. China does not build large navies unless China intends to use them. They're not like us. They don't build large navies to have them on standby. The last time China built the largest navy in the world, they used it, and then they disposed of it. They built the largest treasure fleets in the world. There's a great book called When China Ruled the Seas by Louise Levant. It's a great book. They built this huge treasure fleet. They went everywhere from Malindi in Africa to Madagascar, to up to Taiwan, to Australia. They did it not only to establish supremacy, but also to root out pirates in the Strait of Malacca that had established themselves there. And they took this 300-ship fleet. The largest were 400 foot in length. Compare that to Christopher Columbus's ships that were 85 feet at the most. These ships were 400 feet. They had 9 masts and 12 square sails. They were absolutely magnificent. They took these ships from 1405 to 1433, and when they were done with them, they actually disposed of them.
Mm.
They burned all of them, and they shut their doors to shipping and to that kind of seafaring, and focused more on fighting on the Mongolian front in the north. China does that periodically. That's what China does. They open and shut their doors. They focus where they focus, and they do not over... They don't bite off more than they can chew. This is part of the reason they still have a culture after 3,000 years. So I don't think that they've built such a large navy because they don't plan to use it. They don't do that. It's not part of what they do. So... That being said, I don't know if we're planning to go to war, but it sure as hell looks like it. And by the way, I mean, that Taiwan stuff, that's a very aggressive move of ours. Very aggressive. And nobody's paying attention to it because everybody's worried about COVID and elections, BLM and riots, and all this other shit. But, a war with China, a maritime war with China, would be a very, very disruptive thing for our U.S. supply chain.
I mean, isn't that the reason why we're trying to put rebuild our manufacturing over here? I mean, the fact that we don't even make our own aspirin here. Every other country makes their own fucking aspirin. We don't even make our, we get aspirin from China. Like, we obviously are going to get poisoned. Like, how is that not a thing yet? How have they not, like, say, oh, well, you know, they're using aspirin. Let's just put some, like, fentanyl in that shit and, you know, give some of these, retards some heart attacks.
Right.
And
right,
be like, right, right. Well, be I mean, like, whoops.
And this is why, you know, what Trump has been doing is phenomenal in terms of bringing pharmaceutical manufacturing back. And this is why it's disgusting that people would even oppose it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's really short-sighted to be opposed to having those kinds of partnerships. Either you have a completely... You know, I mean, we're paying, you know, for example, let's talk about the Affordable Care Act, for example.
Mm-hmm.
I watched part of, they were trying to, when they did the Coney Barrett, you know, they were doing the, whatever they call that. Whatever,
confirmation.
Right?
The confirmation.
Right. Hearing. Yeah, the confirmation hearing.
Yeah.
And they were trying to shame her about, oh, this family won't be able to afford insurance. And I thought, well, the problem is, you know, the real problem is the cost of health care, or not insurance. Insurance isn't the problem. Obamacare was a giveaway to the insurance companies. It had nothing to do with health care. Mm. So I guess Japan had a similar problem. But in Japan, they are the home of Six Sigma manufacturing and the home of the Five Whys and Kaizen studies. And, you know, I used to do a lot of that when I worked in manufacturing engineering. And so one of the first things you do is you get to the root cause of the problem. Mm-hmm. So the root cause of the problem in this country isn't that people don't have insurance. The root cause is the fact that the cost of care is too expensive.
Right.
So they had the same problem in Japan. And so what they did was they got to the cost of care. So I guess now the cost of their care is something like 1/16 of what it had been with the same quality of care. Mm-hmm. And it has nothing to do with making sure people have insurance. It has everything to do with making sure that the cost of care is reduced. That's what we should be working on as a country, mm-hmm. not making sure that everybody has insurance, clearly, right?
Right. Right.
And, I don't think anybody really has a problem with that. I think that, the idea that the Affordable Care Act needs to be passed is ridiculous. And I don't think any conservative out there doesn't want people to have health care. They just don't want to pay for overpriced health insurance for other people.
Right.
Right. So, but we, you know, again, we're muddying the field here. This is the problem because everything's become so illogical and so emotional. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's impossible to, you know, have these conversations. And Japan was able to handle this, mm-hmm. you know, because they handled it with logic and with reason. And, I think Amy Coney Barrett did a very nice job getting through that confirmation hearing. But she's going to have a tough road ahead because this country is just, I mean, it's become a hell of irrationality is what it's become. It's become just a country of very, very stupid people running very stupid things. Mm-hmm. Questions of health insurance as opposed to health care. A lot of it is because we have to do things like import everything. We have to import health, masks, and we have to import plastics, and we have to import every single medicine.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the 70s and 80s, we had a bunch of very
few you have 1 minute left
who didn't think about what the long-term what would happen long term if we weren't manufacturing anything.
Mm-hmm.
So now, yeah, look at us. 30 years later, we're a mess. We're a third world country as a result. This is what happened. What do you know?
Right.
So, anyway, I can call back.
Yes.
Let me call back.
All right. All right. We're back.
Hello. Hello.
Yes.
Yeah, it's one of these things, you know, this is, you know, people are vilifying China right now. Right. But like I told you, I'm learning Chinese. Mm-hmm. And people really want to vilify China, but it's our fault we exported our manufacturing there.
Yes.
The people who did this in the 70s and 80s, people like Joe Biden and people who made those decisions are to blame. The American people who made the decisions to export our manufacturing are to blame, not the Chinese. And, you know, and I'll say that till I'm blue in the face because people want to blame the Chinese, but they were smart because they were happy to take the work, and it's our fault for letting them have it.
Yeah.
You know, everybody wants to blame them. And I'm like, hey, you know what? They saw the big picture after World War II. What
you have 1 minute left.
Oh,
sorry. It's time to go. I'm going to leave on this note, but after World War II, what made us wealthy was the fact that our manufacturing had not been destroyed and Europe's had. So we blew it.
Right. What
Heaven help us.
What books are you reading?
I am reading, I recommend getting this book, mm-hmm. When China Ruled the Seas mm-hmm. by Louise Levant.
Mm-hmm.
Get that book if you want to understand China's naval history. It is just wonderful. I highly recommend that book.
Okay.
Great book. Yep. It's a wonderful book. And then also any of the books, I highly recommend studying Chinese writing. Any of the books by Tuttle.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to understand the Chinese brain, start to study Chinese. You know what? It's just a great language. Highly recommend it.
Okay.
So I love you guys. Thank you for everything. Thank you.
Thank you for using Secure.
Love you.
Goodbye.
Love you. Bye. Yeah, and that was Mercedes Carrera with her weekly call. You can help support, these calls by making a donation. I will leave a link there. Or you could please do that also by buying the books mentioned here. Just click the link in the description, and I'll have an Amazon link, and you could just buy it through me. And, so that will ensure that this, goes out, because the money I get from this, it goes to pay for the calls, because it cost me like $18 for a call this long, a little more, you know, for me to do longer calls. Also, it cost me like $11 a month. So that way I could master the show. So that way the sound comes out, normal. So. You can help me out by doing that. So that way I can continue bringing Mercedes Carrera to you weekly. And, again, thank you for listening. Please tell your friends and family, feel free and share the show, share the video, however you are watching or listening to this podcast. And as always, from my house to your house, mahalo.
That's the end of my show. Donk.